Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, hold on, recording.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We are here in the rugby dungeon. Really hot, sunny weekend. There is nowhere we'd rather be than below ground level with no natural light.
None.
Chatting rugby.
A well-insulated room as well.
Yeah.
Lots of recording equipment kicking out a load of heat.
I was going to say, and you'll probably know this in your role with construction stuff, Phil, but I imagine the ground that is surrounding the foundations of this building that we're currently sat in probably has absorbed quite a lot of heat over the last 48 hours.
And hopefully asbestos.
Absorbed heat and asbestos. It's rather warm down here. But we'd rather be here than anywhere else.
Absolutely. As you just heard, that's JB wearing... That's your Navy outfit from Poland you're wearing.
It kind of is, actually. It's not mine, it's Bryn Williams's. I happen to pack his alongside mine. And it actually fits perfectly.
It does. Looks
Phil,
good.
Phil, rather, you look like you're about to go and work on a boat. Phil looks like he's about to go and relax.
He looks like he owns a boat.
On a deck. He looks like he owns a boat. He does.
Well, I am wearing boat shoes, so officially I should own a boat to allow me to wear boat shoes, but sadly
yeah,
I don't.
I think there should be a law about that. You literally need a license to wear boat shoes by buying a yacht, and you've got to prove it.
Well, yeah. That is the equivalent of... I don't think anyone older than kids should wear football or rugby shirts or anything.
I've got one better for you. I don't think you should be legally allowed to be called a director unless you're on company's house. I mean, that is my biggest bugbear.
Director of rugby, yeah.
Yeah. You've either got to sit in a chair with one of those little clipboards or you have to be on company's house. You're not allowed to be director of social services or client director. Not allowed.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Mm.
It's an official title.
It's like people having... like a Porsche branded, anything, or Ferrari branded, anything. Yeah, if you want to have that, own a Ferrari.
Well, let's take Tim's one to the next level, which is if you want to wear a sports top, you've got to play for the team in some capacity.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I'm trying to remember the rugby player I remember having a chat to, and he said he would not, even from when he was really young, like way before representative level rugby. He decided he wouldn't. Who was it?
There's a big thing with Australia.
Oh no, you're
the
right.
The gold.
You're right. The gold of Australia. Yeah, I think that might be it. And it might be New Zealanders as well. They wouldn't wear the international jersey at all until they earned it. Ashley Cooper was big on that.
Yeah.
From when he was a kid.
Yeah.
I seem to remember. I like that.
Do like that. I do think. So I'm with you. I think, but there should be good fan wear. As in, like,
totally.
Training top type stuff. I love going to the gym in. I've got a multitude of rugby club vests that I like going to the gym in. So you should be allowed that.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
Not the playing shirt.
The jersey.
Yeah.
Well, they do have the... Well, I'll tell you another one. Manchester United, because they're sponsored by Adidas, can obviously have an unlimited kit for their academy. When their academy kids play, I don't mean the academy immediately below Manchester United, but all the age groups... They all play in like Germany kit or the kit which Adidas sponsor, but not the United kit, because that's the thing. You don't play for United until you play for United.
Oh, I like it.
Mm.
Yeah.
There you go.
That makes it more of an achievement.
Yes, and exactly right.
You've got to work up to it.
And that is quite an achievement as well. It's like playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right, on this podcast, we're going to be talking, obviously, about the semi-finals in the Pro 14 and the Aviva Premiership. Why were Ulster playing...
The loser bowl, you mean?
Ospreys.
Yeah, this is the loser bowl. So this is qualification for the Champions Cup next season. Because, it's like
when they had the seventh place playoff in the Premiership between top 14 and the Avicii.
Yeah, and it goes down, so you work down teams not qualified. So there's a whole hierarchy. So for example,
Gloucester, because they weren't in the top six, they qualified through winning the challenge. Yeah. For being finalists in the Challenge Cup.
Because Cardiff had already qualified in the league and they didn't get it through the Challenge Cup.
So it drops down to then semi-finalists, and the semi-finalists were I can't even remember.
Pau and someone
some
else.
Others.
Yeah. Anyway, it became Pro 14 with a team that got the extra spot, so there was a playoff for the two. Fourth place in the two.
Okay, that explains
the two conferences.
I literally switched off for all of that.
And who
won? Unfortunately, Ulster won 35-17.
Ulster are going to get a beast of a Champions Cup group.
Yeah,
for next year.
They're a good team though, and they'll have Will Addison next year. So easy wins everywhere.
They'll be right. So we're going to talk about the semi-finals. There's a few other things that have been going on in the rugby world. Firstly, it's the royal wedding this weekend. I know JB's household was a hub of royal wedding activity yesterday.
It really was. And my mum made it onto BBC Breakfast. She's a massive royalist. She went down to London to wave some flags. What a nutter.
I just assumed that everyone there was from London or around London. But I was getting a train back from London to Manchester after the Saracens game. And there were tons of people making their way home.
Yeah.
Yeah, the insanity is real.
It really is. It's completely bonkers.
The most searched thing on Instagram in America was cucumber sandwiches. Recipe.
Really?
A recipe for cucumber sandwiches.
How awful.
Cucumber sandwiches, Pims.
But there were some rugby players there. Not many.
Yeah. Well, James Haskell was there, was he not?
Clive Woodward and Johnny Wilkinson were there. Johnny Wilkinson's missus is pregnant.
Yeah.
It looked to me.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that now that means that Eddie is going to be taking Johnny Wilkinson's wife on tour to give the fetus some experience.
Almost certainly.
But no, the Archbishop of Banterbury was there. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Which I thought was it's not a good move, that, I don't think. I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go to a royal wedding. Sure,
it's a great move.
Well, do you know what he went to? Playing. He only went to the daytime bit. He didn't go to the evening. So you went to the daytime bit where you have to go into the church an hour early, sit there for an hour, sit through all that service.
Do you know what?
Leave and you have a short evening, early evening reception before you're told to do one.
Yeah, what am I talking about? I obviously would do it. But I just think of all of the things I haven't done to go and watch or play for Tok H or Broughton Park over all the years, which is a huge amount. A huge amount.
Yeah, but he was injured anyway, wasn't he?
I went training on the day of my daughter's birth.
Dai Young did give him permission.
Yeah.
Dai Young said, it was my choice. Well, Dai Young actually said, I said, Dai, James Haskell at the royal wedding, is that, how do you feel about that? And he went, what did he say? He made a joke about it, like, well, I don't think he was
Northampton's problem.
It was basically about James Haskell invited himself, I think is what Dai Young said. and then he said, no, it was my decision. I've agreed to it.
So. I'd invite him to my wedding just to jazz it up a bit.
Yeah.
Well, he'd probably come based on his track record.
I think it was Lawrence Delalio's joke, and it was a joke.
Uh-oh.
Said, he was like, oh yeah, he's got a foot injury because he dropped the invitation on his foot. Well, he said it better.
Yeah, leave the jokes to Austin.
Sorry, he said it better. Sorry, lol. anyway, so... Oh, no, Sam Burgess, did you see his tweet?
No.
Sam Burgess tweeted, did I just see James Haskell at the royal wedding? That bloke gets where water can't. I wonder if he and Harry will discuss hair growth products at the after party.
Hey! Get him.
And also Mike Tyndall was there, obviously.
Yeah, it stacks up.
He's fixed his nose.
Has he?
Yeah.
It's a bit disconcerting.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
No, it's odd looking at
it. Straight line. I can't believe that, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look it up.
Yeah.
We should tweet that from Egg Chasers.
There was one expert bit of trolling from the cameramen that were covering the royal wedding when James Haskell and Clive Woodward were focused on while they were singing Bread of Heaven. I did like that. But no, there you go.
Anything else from the game?
From the royal wedding?
Royal wedding.
I didn't
really watch much of it.
I'd watch none of it.
I've seen a couple of images without sound when I was at the gym this morning. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah. A rugby story. Oh, we'll get
the one thing from the royal wedding, and it was everywhere. Was David Beckham, and just how good he looked.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. He looked very good at Wimbledon a few years ago, I thought.
Yeah,
peak Beckham.
He was.
He'll be potting everything.
Johnny Wilkinson is a handsome man,
and he was stood next to David Beckham, and he looked like he made Johnny Wilkinson look like Danny DeVito. It was remarkable.
Wow. Wow. There is a rugby story, of course.
Oh, yeah. So before we get into the games, really, really, real shame for Jack Willis.
Yeah. So have we had confirmation that his knee has got... Because I think he said that he'll be going for a scan either today or tomorrow.
I'm hoping it's not too bad, because he kind of did walk off.
Well, so what Dai Young said after the game is, it doesn't look good. It's his knee. It's in a brace. And it's bad enough that he's going to go for a scan right away rather than wait till Monday.
Okay.
And I also, on the touchline, when Jack Willis came out at the start of the second half, came out on crutches with his knee in a brace, his dad was stood next to the Saracens bench, just obviously come out of the crowd, come down to chat to him. I only assuming it's his dad because he looks the absolute spitting image of him. And he went over, and I didn't see what they said, but all I saw was Jack Willis have a chat with his dad, and then his dad just put his hand over his eyes, like, good to go, and just went, oh, no.
Yeah.
So they're saying it's too early to tell, but I think the indications are it's pretty bad.
Oh, hang on. Got a phone call.
Ooh.
Hello?
Hello?
Ah, Don Ormond, how are you?
I'm good and yourself.
Hang on, I'll just
no you way!
Yep, there we go. Just...
Did I catch you guys at the wrong time?
Absolutely fine, mate. Don, meet Tim. Tim, meet Don. Phil, meet Don.
Well, I've met Don before a couple of times, handing him many Man of the Match medals, but, you know, never had the pleasure of meeting him on the podcast.
Oh, nice to meet you, mate. Again.
Again. So have you had any phone calls tonight, Don?
No, I haven't.
No.
Oh, that would have been a scoop.
How are you feeling? How's the body feeling today?
It's a bit bruised and battered, but you know that's the way it should be after a good game like that.
Yeah, it was a tremendous game, tremendous performance by you boys, particularly the pack. Did it go that first half? Was the game plan to keep it close and tight exactly as you did?
I think the game plan was just to make sure we carried on doing what we've been doing the whole season, in terms of not trying to create miracles, not trying to think that that's what's winning us the game. So what was working was keeping it close and tight, and that's what we had to stick to. You know, Newcastle put in some amazing sets of D, and geez, credit to them, they had to put in a lot of tackles, but you know, it must have been tiring work for them, it was tiring for us, so yeah, we stuck to what worked.
Really. I think it was maybe 10 minutes in, and there were still like two-thirds of the Exeter side hadn't made a tackle by that point.
Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. The ability and the confidence and the synergy between you're right, JB. Yep. Between the Exeter side, just to have that confidence to retain the ball, it's amazing. How much of that is training? How much of that is just the basic skills that you possess? How much of it is coaching? Because it's pretty remarkable, Don.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of everything. You know, it's really good. You know, especially from, like I said, the forward pack doing what we needed to do, and then you know the back line not. You know, sometimes backs can, you know, try and be flamboyant and do these amazing offloads, whereas I think our backs just really gelled and they really stuck to the game plan. And, you know, when the forwards are doing their thing and then the backs are doing their thing, it actually makes for a pretty good picture. So, you know, I think it's a bit of coaching, it's a bit of mindset, it's a bit of training, it's a bit of basics. It's, you know, it was what it needed to be in a playoff game like that.
Don, tell me, what is it like playing with a guy like Ollie Woodburn, who just seems to rip up everything?
Amazing. I mean, he's not very loud, but he's very passionate. So he's really good to look back when the ball's been kicked over your head, and Ollie jumps up in the air and catches these balls, which you know are amazing to catch and make such a big difference. And you know, not only that, just the way he attacks is everything he does, just trying to get around on the field. He's amazing to play with, really.
And he can finish a try pretty well.
Yeah, he's had a few good finishes this year, hasn't he?
Yeah, more than a few, and that one at the weekend was just another example of a brilliant finish.
Yeah, well, you know, he's putting himself up there with some of the best finishes, isn't he?
Oh, definitely.
It really is. And again, I know that, you know, it's difficult for you to comment in your position, but we have been banging a drum for Ollie Woodburn, for yourself, for a number of other Exeter Chiefs players, for getting the record. Well, I'd like to think that international accolades are earned on the merit of the performance that you put in, week out, month in, month out, season in, season out. And if that's the case, then it's, you'd like to think it's only a matter of time before Ollie Woodburn is also someone that's in the conversation.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely been there and thereabouts for, like, I think the last few seasons now. You know, I don't really know why he hasn't been picked, but, you know, it's not my job. You know, there's ins and outs of back play that I literally have no clue about yet. all the time. So, you know, I mean, if I was the coach, I'd pick him. I'm not the coach, so I've just got to just play with him.
That's an interesting point. If you were a back, Don, what position would you play?
I'd probably try and play a position that's very similar to a forward. So probably one of like a centre, inside centre maybe. Give the ball, run it up.
Hey, well, yeah. You know, it worked for Sam Burgess. He went to a World Cup.
Yeah,
he did. He did go to a World Cup. That is a fact. How did... recovery day today. Is the sun's been shining in Exeter, I imagine.
Yeah, it's been shining very warmly.
So what has it just been, back garden, or have you got together with the boys? Or what do you do on your down days?
Today is a family day, pretty much. So it's doing whatever the kids need to do. No plan. It was just basically spend time in the sun, take the dogs for a walk with the kids, potter around the house. My missus had ants in the pants, so she was doing spring clean. it was basically just one of those days where I could just sit outside and let things happen around me. So I was feet up and just let it happen.
I imagine you maybe watched the first semi-final as well.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
It was good. I mean, Surrey's obviously impressive outfit, and they've taken some real momentum into these games. You know, if you look at their scorelines, like proceeding up to the semi-final, you know, you can definitely tell that they're hitting their straps.
Mm. Yeah, worryingly so. I don't think I've seen Surrey's play that well for a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you like to think that they play that well. They've got a lot to play for, don't they? You know, they didn't manage to get a trophy in the European Cup. Or Champions Cup, sorry.
Mm.
So now I think they've, if you think about this time last year, they'd just come out of a final having won it, and they had to play in a semi. Whereas this year, I think their focus could be fully on making sure that they, you know,
that gain line battle is going to be huge. That's where they really dominated.
I'm looking
Wasps.
Forward to that a lot.
That Wasps just couldn't contain them. Exeter have proved over the last couple of years that they can mix that with the very biggest and baddest of teams. So that gain line battle, and you're going to be prominent there, Don. That's going to be a huge thing that will sway the game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be two sides that have pretty, like, we both pride ourselves on our defense and the way we attack. So I think it's going to be the in between, you know, the midfield battle. That's probably one where we've got to put your focus on as spectators and all that kind of thing to see who's winning the little battles over and over again. I think that's what's going to make the difference at the end of the day.
Mm. Now, just a quick one. Obviously, Exeter, very well-rounded team. You know exactly how you're going to play. You're all very comfortable with your physicality and, you know, everything you need to do. How are you going to prepare this week? Is it going to be more video study than, like, intense training?
To be honest, I that's up to the coaches. They haven't really spoken about it. You know, we've taken it game by game. We made sure the focus last week was on the semi, so... You know, I'm not sure what the coaches have planned for us, whether they're going to make it intense training or whether they're going to do not so intense training and make sure we, you know, are probably a bit fresher. But I really can't tell you. It's just those are the kind of things we leave up to coaches, and they seem to have been getting things right up to now. Yeah. So.
Well, not all the coaches have got everything right.
What?
England.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's true. We can agree there.
Don, so this is... third final in 3 years for Exeter. Obviously, the first one, top level final for Exeter, there was probably a bit of a different feel around the camp going into that compared to now, particularly after last year's success. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of the confidence or the mentality around the camp?
Yeah, I think definitely when we first made the final, it was one of those where everyone was really happy that we made it to the final, if that makes sense. And, you know, whatever happened on the day, everyone was going to be glad with, you know, the achievement that we'd had that year. Whereas now, obviously, it's a bit of a different story. And we've got, you know, 3 years in a row that we've made the final. So all the guys that are involved have got that big match experience, or most of the guys involved have that big match experience. So, you know, they're not coming there to to get their first final under the belt and make sure that they take that home. You know, I think guys have really come and make sure that we focus on getting the job done right instead of worrying about the fact that we're in a final, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And I've got a really highbrow question to ask at the final. Are you do you get do you have a special cup final trim of the hair? Get the what's it what do you call it?
The fin.
Yeah. Do you get your fin trimmed?
Yeah, we got it all done last week.
Your barber follows us on Twitter.
Yeah, he's a very passionate rugby supporter
and hairdresser.
Yes,
and barber. He's very barber.
Good. Okay, cool. So you're right.
No,
you're right, Jay. So obviously, looking, your focus will be completely on Twickenham, but. You mentioned it was a family day today, and you know the missus has got ants in the pants. Has she booked you somewhere to go? Obviously, we're all hoping you're quite busy for the next little while. But if you weren't, is anything booked?
No. To be honest, it's after the final. It was basically just enjoy a good off season. You know, I've been on tours for the last two or so years, so it was kind of just hang around. You know, Exeter's got the best kind of weather this time of year. Get stuff done around the house. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we want done in the garden. So it's basically just enjoying being around the family and not having to worry about the hustle and bustle of going overseas with two little kids or wherever it is. Yeah. You know, might go camping or something, but keeping it local.
That I do absolutely love the dynamic of families. You come off a 10-month grueling physical season, and the day you finish, you're in the garden.
Yeah,
perfect.
Human climbing frame. totally. Go on, Don. Sorry.
No, I was going to say I think the off season is going to be a bit harder than actually in season.
Yeah. Get that shovel.
Time, giving everyone else a bit of free time from all the looking after they've done for me. So
yeah, absolutely. JB, cool. Yeah. All right. So Don, thank you so much for your time. I had no idea we were going to be having a chat to you. So well done, JB, for organising that special surprise. Yeah, really, really, well, congratulations for the season so far, and all the very best at Twickenham on Saturday. Should be an amazing occasion. The sun looks like it's going to be still shining then, and we'll have a great, really well-matched game of rugby. All the best, Don.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Cheers, Don. Good luck.
Cheers.
Bye.
Good work, JB, you little
you stop
horse.
It, you.
That was a nice little surprise.
Wasn't it just? I might have another one later. You don't know, do you?
Oh, wow.
just phones in. Just randomly phones in. The magic never stops in the dungeon.
I'm just trying to think what Saracens players you might have a relationship with.
Is there a bit of hissing in the background from the connection?
Yes, there is. I will turn that off now.
Cool.
Oh,
there we go. There we go. Yeah.
What's good, up, lad?
Yeah.
He is a lovely man.
Right, we can have real talk now.
Real talk. Yeah, so what we were talking about Willis, weren't we?
We were just saying Jack Willis. What a shame for him.
Yeah.
It was weird that we mentioned Jack Willis and Don Armand called up.
Remarkable.
Yeah, isn't it?
if only Eddie Jones's conversation goes something like that.
Right, so really sad news for Jack Willis.
Yes. Yeah.
Assuming he is robbed of his chance to...
But, you know, it will come again. He's good enough.
He's 19?
19 or 20. Yeah. He will get... lots and lots of other opportunities.
Do you reckon him and the Currys are in a blood feud? Him and his two brothers?
No.
Maybe.
No,
they're very different.
All.
They're very different types of players.
Do you reckon?
Jack Willis has been taken as a six.
Yeah.
I think they're quite similar, you know.
No, for
what's Willis? Like 6'2"?
Six, 6'4". He's a line-out option.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a genuine line-out option.
He's a big,
strong
boy. Yeah,
the Currys are slightly smaller, but they're bloody strong.
Yeah.
And they're both very good over the ball.
Yeah,
I say both, as in, the Currys are one.
Jack Willis, I think, is kind of... Well, he's got a bit of Rob Shaw about him in the fact he's an all-rounder. He can be a line-out option, he can run, he can support, he makes good decisions, and he can get over the ball.
Mm.
But he's quite an explosive player, that's what I like.
Yeah, more explosive than a Rob Shaw type.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't think he's not fully filled out yet, but he's already a very big frame.
Yeah.
Bigger frame than the Curry boys.
I'd say the same about the Currys, not to the same extent, but I mean, I've said it a load of times. Every time you get on sale, they look like 3 inches taller and 2 inches wider. Or maybe 8 inches wider and 2 inches taller.
I have to say, more
massive.
The Currys' arms are frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when they first
kind of burst onto the scene only 12, 18 months ago, you kind of thought, these guys being talked about as international back row, no, they're too small.
Yeah.
But they've started to fill out. They've obviously not finished filling out because they're only 19.
One of them's already going. Assuming Jack Willis isn't, who should get Eddie Jones's call?
Well, you know, the man that just phoned up.
We're not saying that because he just phoned up. I cannot believe he wasn't involved in the first place. He should absolutely be Lance Cab off the rank.
There must be something fundamentally wrong that Eddie Jones perceives. That's the only logical explanation. Because, yeah, we'll talk about him later in the Newcastle effort, which is phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Even got a try.
Yeah. There's other names that you can mention, but absolutely Don Armand is number one.
Particularly as a replacement for Jack Willis.
I still can't believe he's not in the squad already.
I can only assume, right? And this is a compliment and an insult in the same way, I guess. But if Eddie Jones' captain is Dylan Hartley, he clearly likes a guy with a bit of an attitude, to put it in a friendly way.
Yeah.
Like, Don is genuinely a very, very placid, nice guy. Very, very, and I wonder if that kind of counts against him in some.
He's an animal when he crosses the whitewash.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can possibly think of. Because rugby.
And not forget, like the champions of English rugby entrust him with the captaincy of their side.
Yeah,
yeah. So, are you suggesting that Eddie has like an opposite of the New Zealand no dickheads policy? So no nice guys, only dickheads.
I do think there was something in that. I think no nice guys is kind of. Mind you, he loves Rob Shaw, and he's a very nice man.
Yeah.
He's one of the nicest men in rugby. So, I don't know. I don't know.
But there might actually be two back row call-ups, because Billy Vunipola didn't finish the game.
That wasn't an injury, though, was it?
That wasn't an injury.
Was it a planned substitution?
Yeah, I think so, because he played 20 minutes 3 weeks ago against London Irish. He then got rested for the final round of games. He played 40 minutes. The game just gone.
Okay.
And they'd got themselves into a pretty dominant position.
Yeah. I hope so. There's just been rumours of.
No, he strolled out smiling with flip flops on,
okay,
acting like there was nothing. There was nothing
good
going on.
So let's assume, right, that Don Armand's not going because just history is against him at the moment.
Yeah.
Although he did make one appearance in the Six Nations off the bench.
Who else would you go with?
Well, Gary Graham's an option.
Yep.
Yeah, Gary Graham was one of the few good players.
Brendan O'Connor finally gets called.
Brendan O'Connor, I'd love to see him.
He's more of a seven.
He's more of a seven, but
there's a couple in the Brighton training squad.
John O'Ross.
So John O'Ross, Tom Ellis of Bath.
No.
I don't think he'll be going.
No.
The other two have been involved in the England squad before. Tamina Harrison, who I don't.
Abrasive.
I don't think he'll go. Or Zach Mercer, who's been in and around.
I don't. Again, this is not to disparage these guys who are solid pros. But if you, again, we've just spoken to him. If you were Don Armand and seeing Tamina Harrison, Tom Ellis,
Zach Mercer
in an England squad, and you weren't,
you'd,
what else do you have to
do? Well, I mean, you'd assume you'd be playing a Premiership final because I think those guys are only there for opposition, aren't they? Are they? I don't know.
Well, there's a Barbarians game, isn't there?
Yeah.
The week after the final.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
Oh, the day after the final.
The day after the final, sorry.
Yeah. Have you seen the backline for the Barbarians, by the way?
I've seen some of the call.
Dynamite.
The recent call-ups.
Woo.
Yeah.
They've got a 10 playing for the Barbarians.
Chris Ashton.
Electric.
Yeah.
Bendiaki will be captain. Adi Logan on the wing. Can't remember the other centre. Charles Piatow.
Woo. Sir Charles.
Laidlaw at 9. And the mighty AJ McGinty at 10. And you'll see his class now. You'll absolutely see it. He's a brilliant player. Let's talk about let's talk about Glasgow. Should we do that one?
Yeah. It's not really talking about Glasgow, is it?
Well,
Scarlets.
Well, yeah, as we've just spoken to Don Armand, should we just briefly, anything you want to bring to the table on the Exeter win?
Oh, I think there's a lot to talk about on that. But,
do you?
Well,
do you think it's a little bit going according to plan?
It all went according to our predictions, but the first half was a truly remarkable performance. Absolutely astonishing. 93% possession, 92% territory.
When have you ever seen those stats?
Well, so those identical stats came up after 15 minutes, and I was like, God, that would have been a tough 15 minutes for Newcastle. That is unrelenting pressure from Exeter. 15 minutes, you can't keep that for longer. Oh, wait, the full 40 minutes was that completely unrelenting wave after wave after wave of dominant carry. And
Don Harmon said it there. Newcastle defended heroically. Some of their defensive sets, putting in 25-plus phases of defence against that monstrous, well-coordinated Exeter pack was remarkable. So Newcastle deserve a huge amount of credit for that. But they simply couldn't get a foothold in the game at all because of it. The first half, from one of the stats I read, was Exeter made 9 tackles in the first half. 9. That is
no,
that
no,
is incredible.
That's not true,
that can't be true.
What?
It's unbelievable.
What? But I suppose 92% possession, of course, that is
yeah.
feasible.
It was phenomenal.
Whoa.
It was absolutely phenomenal.
And it was the manner that they did it as well. It wasn't picking and going. It was a real mixed, balanced game. Henry Slade was, in amongst all these 25 phase plays, Henry Slade was jinking an out-the-back offload. Lockie Turner was cutting and jinking, and Luke Cowan-Dickey was just rampaging like a possessed bull.
Nick White as well.
Oh, yeah.
Nick White had a really, really good game.
See, I'm actually surprised that Nick White is as good as he is. Because I thought that between Townsend and Maunder, they had it sewn up, and the Nick White signing was a bit of a mistake.
And Chudders.
Yeah.
And Will Chudley.
But no.
Great player.
They're sticking with him. He's great.
I was very surprised. I thought it was a mistake when they did it, but no, he has come in and really shown his class. He is right now a cut above those other guys.
I think it sort of demonstrated the gulf of how far Newcastle need to come and how the teams need to mature into these playoff teams and then finals teams, and then you win the final. But it's just a process.
Yeah, yeah. And on Newcastle, their defensive effort was heroic, but they couldn't get that foothold in the game. They just couldn't get... Because Exeter were making so many yards with so much ultimate possession. Like 25 consecutive phases of possession. Newcastle get the ball. Because of where they are on the pitch, they have to kick it away, which just means that Exeter go again. So I did feel a little bit sorry for them in that first half. They played better in the second half. I thought some of the changes that they made helped. Nili Latu came on and added an explosive element to the back row alongside Wilson and Gary Graham, who both did well. And Alex Tate did very well when he came in. I thought he was one of the better players. I'll overlook his drop ball for the try, which was a horrendous mistake. But besides that, he actually helped to bring certainly Sonotti into the game, and Gonather a little bit into the game, who were a bit isolated besides that.
But okay, well, so we can move on to the game you want to talk about next, because we I don't think anyone anticipated the four games being... Well, we thought if there was going to be a competitive match, then the competitive game might have been at Glasgow.
I didn't, actually. I didn't think it would be a Scarlets win necessarily, but I thought one side would hammer the other.
You did.
Yeah. But I didn't know which way.
Yeah, exactly. So the one thing we could all agree on this time last week was it was the hardest one to call.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And yet it provided... Well, I suppose in that sense, it provided the only and the biggest surprise in the manner... Not necessarily a surprise that Scarlets won, but a surprise in the manner that they did it.
Do you know what? This the first 10 minutes looked like a Super Rugby match. Which isn't necessarily a compliment. It strikes me that Glasgow play a little bit like Scarlets. They're kind of like Scarlets lights. And they've got the players to do it. They've got incredibly skillful players, actually. But Scarlets are more comfortable in their own skin in what they do. So for the first 10 minutes, it was one of the most back and forth games I think I've ever seen, ever. It was incredible. But whereas Scarlets were very comfortable to continue with that, it felt like Glasgow just went back into their shell. So I don't think I saw Finn Russell touch the ball after 20 minutes. The first 10 minutes, he was magnificent, absolutely brilliant. But after that, they just sort of seemed to fade away, and they came back into it a little bit later. But I just don't think they had... I just don't think they believed in themselves and what they were trying to do with ball in hand as much as Scarlets do.
They certainly weren't... They certainly don't have as many players, or from that showing, don't have as many players who are comfortable playing that pivot role.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does.
Comfortable not deciding immediately what they're going to do, whether you're going to run, pass or kick. And one of the things that the Scarlets players do very well is almost take their time, identify all three options, and keep all three options open until the last second. Less so the kicking, but certainly the run and carry offload, or the run, take it to the line, and give.
I tell you what, Rob Evans, I mean, that guy can play. Yeah. That guy can really, really play. He can run, he can distribute. He threw a bit of a horror pass, and his scrimmaging's pretty good as well.
His scrimmaging, yeah, he's a great all-round. Really good. Is he the new Gethin Jenkins?
No, I don't think Gethin Jenkins was ever close to what Rob Evans can do around the field.
Really? Oh, Gethin Jenkins was such a...
Gethin Jenkins was like tackling and rucking and hard work, that sort of thing. But in terms of his ball-playing ability and just, you know, the way he steps, I don't think Gethin Jenkins was that. And also, Gethin Jenkins is probably a better scrummager. Could also go either side.
Yeah.
A bit more, bit more physical. But Gethin Jenkins is renowned for being miserable. And Rob Evans seems like one of the most jolly chaps that you'll ever encounter.
Well, the whole of the Scarlets team do. They seem to have this like camaraderie.
Yeah.
But in the pack, there's other brilliant ball players. Obviously, Ty Burn, mm-hmm. Shingler and James Davis as well. Shingler and James Davis, in terms of like the skill set of forwards, you've got kind of 3-4 there. There are a few teams that have won with that level of all-round, all-court game.
You know, so I was looking at the Scarlets and I was thinking, they're just lightweight. They're, you know, are they going to get beaten up? I think this about them every time before they go out and play. And I'm always wrong. I'm like, no, you should believe in what they're trying to do.
But they've got an international front row.
Yeah.
Like a very good, very competitive international front row in the tight. And somehow they've now got this like flamboyant handling game to it as well.
It's crazy. The one thing which annoyed me about Glasgow was they seem to drop the ball a lot. There's a lot of forced errors. The line out, for some reason, was very, very shaky. Scarlets picked up on that early doors. And I think it was nerves. I just don't think they believed that they could win that game. And they thought if they're going to win it, they're going to have to play almost like a mirror to Scarlets.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not going to win that.
You know how Don Armand, you organised that interjection into the conversation and it took us in a different direction? I'm going to chuck something else in, which is a bit of breaking news that's just happened.
Really?
Ooh.
Harlequin's new head coach.
Is Paul Gustard.
Paul Gustard.
Yeah, I heard that was on
there was rumours about it, but it's actually happened. I was thinking, what would that mean for England? Like, this is just over a year out from a World Cup. Is this part of hashtag downfall?
Well, do you know, there is something to this, which is Eddie Jones is notoriously hard to work with. I mean, he's fired a lot of backroom staff. It doesn't surprise me that Paul Gustard is like, maybe this is just too much work. Off he goes.
Well, the thing is, it could just be Paul Gustard thought, oh, this is a great opportunity to be Harlequin's head coach. But a year and a bit out from a World Cup.
Yeah.
It could just be making a mountain out of a molehill with this, but it looks like, well, that's a really worrying thing to happen.
Isn't it? Well, yeah, maybe he's overworked. I mean, I'm just speculating here, overworked at England. The Eddie Jones regime has even taken its toll on a man of his stature. Who comes in next, though? I mean, do you know who it seems logical to get?
Alex Sanderson.
Alex Sanderson. I mean, that seems so obvious.
It's like for like in terms of systems.
Yeah. Attitude.
The apprentice becomes the master once again.
Yeah,
yeah.
That would make sense. Although I've got Alex Sanderson as a potential DOR over the summer.
I'm not. I think he's the kind of guy who wants to almost specialise in the defence coach.
I want to specialise in defence coach. loads and loads of plaudits. Relatively easy. What we're going to do today, boys? Line speed. Don't get beaten on the inside. Line speed. Here's some wolves. Line speed. It's so easy.
It is a bit worrying from England.
It's not a good look.
No.
No, it's not. But they know it, don't they? They know to get off the line quickly and to be enthusiastic. And they'll be fine. Well, they won't be fine, will they? Because
it's down. Yeah,
well,
down.
Yeah, screwed. They're absolutely screwed.
Well, in that case, how would you explain, for example, Harlequin's terrible defence in the last season? If it was just a
lack
case
of attitude. Literally lack of attitude. I sincerely mean that. I was interviewing like 2 years ago, must have been now, Joe Marler. And Joe Marler actually said on the interview that the attitude wasn't good enough. And the next season, they do exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. It's not a lack of physical capability, because all these players are capable. It's a lack of want. And when a team doesn't defend well, it tells you all you need to know about the attitude within that squad, in my personal opinion.
Hmm. England, then. So we're saying this won't materially affect them for this.
I don't know.
Well, it shouldn't affect them for this tour. It shouldn't materially affect them if they can make the right appointments. And I say appointments because he's also looking for an attack coach.
Got one.
Have they got one?
Yeah, they've got that.
He's got one of his mates from Australia.
Yeah, okay. I wonder if that will be the difference, i.e. now that there's someone doing the attacking game, which is what, from what I understand, Owen Farrell used to do, and Eddie Jones combined, whether Eddie Jones will do more on the defensive side of the ball. Because someone's going to have to run defensive sessions.
Maybe.
So that's what I kind of expect.
It hints at an unhappy camp, but then I'm aware that could just be jumping to... that could be 2 and 2 equals 5.
I'm convinced that's why they've changed all of their players, because the others are so worn out from the Eddie mindset. I'm convinced on that.
Well, on that front, I'll tell you one thing. The Saracens boys did not look tired on Saturday.
No.
Owen Farrell, Mako Vunipola, Maro Itoje, George Cruz, none of those boys looked tired.
No.
Jamie George.
Yeah.
Ready to go. So, if this game hadn't existed, I'd have said the best performance of the weekend by Country Mile was... Well, I haven't seen the Leinster game, so I'm not going to comment. But the Glasgow Scarlets game, I thought like the first 10 minutes of that was the pace, everything about it was brilliant. Until I saw this game, and it was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. The way the Saracens played, they have not played this well for about 3 years, I'd say, since they battered Clermont.
Well, the stage was such that I think they had all their players out. They'd had a 2 week build up. They were all feeling fresh. So I think you're right, but they scored 57 points on Saturday. In the last 5 games, they scored almost 300 points.
Oh, wow.
They're averaging over 50 points for the last 5 matches.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
Everyone's fit and firing.
Well, they're the top try scorers in the Premiership in the regular season.
Yeah.
Which, again, and they had the best defence. And do you know what? This is all in the context of they had an awful run. What, was it 7 or 9 defeats?
Something like
out of
that.
In 10 games, or at least it was end of October, November, December.
Yeah,
that whole period was awful for Saracens to be at the point they're at now. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I honestly didn't think that they were going to be as good. I really didn't. I thought Wasps nearly full fitness. I mean, there's one or two guys out, but pretty much full fitness. Danny Cipriani pulling the strings. I was just completely wrong. That said, come 50 minutes, I had Wasps. Well, Wasps should have been ahead, because there's a horrific Jimmy Gopeth gaff for the first try.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That was just like...
Keep it in your other hand.
Oh, yeah.
Keep it in your left hand.
I mean, he didn't need to go into touch.
Yeah.
And then the
it
other
was
daily
a mistake,
try, which was a try, that gives them an extra 14 points. They actually should have been up on Saracens by 50 minutes.
And if Vili LaRue didn't try and run directly for the farthest point away, he could have given Jimmy Gopeth another 10 or 15 metres towards the post.
On both of his tries, he did it as well.
Both.
The second one in particular, he went as far as he possibly could. The ball was millimetres from the whitewash.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think the difference here, I mean, it's hardly rocket science, is it? The difference for me was ball carrying. So Saracens knew full well the Wasps had one ball carrier and they could target him and get him out of the game. Saracens had both the Vunipolas and whoever else that you want to count.
Well, I think I'd say every single one of their pack is a legitimate quality ball carrier.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I can't think of one that isn't.
Now, let's not say the Wasps aren't, but you know, Saracens just knew if they targeted Nathan Hughes, well, what else is going to come down the channel? Nothing. But with Saracens, they've got them everywhere. You just can't mark them out of the game.
Especially after Jack Willis went off. Although Guy Thompson...
He played well.
Guy Thompson carried very well. And Thomas Young is an excellent carrier in open traffic.
Yes.
So he showed his pace when he can get away. But in heavy traffic, he's more like a Jackson Ray in heavy traffic. He's not a Billy or a Nathan or a Mako or... a Maro or a Cruis or...
The George.
Yeah, or
Vince Cock.
Vince
Cock.
Yeah.
Jesus, they're good. Yeah. I honestly didn't see this being so one-sided.
So I think the first 2 minutes was probably a great example. It's probably a good demonstration of the entire game as a whole. So Wasps have a line out. They actually won that line out. So that not a perfect example of the whole game. They tried. So it was a complicated backs move. Two guys out the back. And if it had gone well, mm-hmm. they would have had room for Daly, Wade, LaRue. They were all excellent in space. But they got swamped by Saracens. The ball turned over. Two mammoth or monster carries from Saracens. And then Owen Farrell, mismatch against a prop in a second row, shows and goes, offload to Lazowski under the post.
I tell you what. What struck me was how hard Saracens worked to get on the end of breaks.
Yeah.
I mean, they really busted the gut. And that Lazowski try was a great example of it.
And how hard Saracens worked without the ball as well. Mm. There was a time in the first half where Saracens clearing kick, LaRue fields it and passed inside to Gopeth.
Yeah.
And because it was like a 30-yard pass, the ball was in the air for 2 seconds, 3 seconds. And by the time Gopeth gets the ball, there's like eight Saracens around him. And this Amazingly. Was a 50, 60-yard kick.
The thing I loved the most was how the Saracens players... Like, a forward will get the ball and they'll immediately pop it off. But the intent of that next forward coming onto the ball is just mega. And it's one, and then another, and then another. It's quite incredible to watch. I'm not sure exactly how you stop them. I'm sure Exeter have got a plan. But
we'll come on to that matchup in a little bit. But Wasps, they didn't stop the Saracens' attack. But they did show some frailties in defence. The back three in particular, and the back three got the ball because of some superb handling and timing of passing from Cipriani and Gopeth. But that back three did show they're dangerous. And there's one, the first LaRue try.
Was that the one where all the backs go? It's just like, it's an incredible move, basically.
It's an incredible move. So it was a couple of out the backs to create space for Wade looping round.
Yeah.
But because of Wade's pace, Wiles, who should have the man outside him, ends up turning inside. So if you watch, Wiles should be drifting out to cover his man, but he actually gets wrong-footed and turns inside so that when...
Just because Wade's that quick.
Because Wade is that quick, because he's not sure if the man inside him can get Wade. Mm. And as he turns inside, he ends up falling over because he goes to tackle Wade and he's kind of too late and out of position. But all because of the pace of Wade.
So what I don't get, right, is two things. One, I don't know if I mentioned it before, Brad Barrett should be in the England squad. If you can do that, if you can perform like that in a semi-final, the man is international quality, go win a World Cup next year, fine, okay? The other thing is, if you're going to be Wasps and you're going to go full Wasps, like ultimate Wasps, why not start with Kyle Eastmond? He was on the bench. I mean, what are you going to do? Have the extra physicality or Jimmy Gopeth?
No, I think it's been demonstrated that Cipriani actually operates best... Well, with Gopeth.
I was about to ask that. Do you think having Cipriani and Eastmond is like having two lead guitarists or something?
Well, no, actually, they did it in the pre-game analysis. They highlighted one of the ways that Christian Wade, for example, gets the majority of his tries, which is Jimmy Gopeth actually takes the ball first mm-hmm. from a missed pass from Dan Robson. Danny Cipriani drops behind Gopeth and gets it as the second receiver in the midfield, like where an outside centre would be, and then Cipriani then has the decision and can put people like Wade into space, because Danny Cipriani's brilliant at doing that. So I think the combination has worked fantastically well, and we saw with that Wade the Willy LaRue try, the first one where he ran into the corner unnecessarily.
I think like,
we saw that work in an absolute treat.
I think like the only thing I'd say is you are fundamentally right on all that, but pace is terrifying, and Kyle Eastmond's feet are terrifying, and he can do everything and more potentially than Gopeth.
Any word on who wants him?
Leon season. And Breve.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't want him to leave England though. I think that'd be a shame.
Just one more
and
thing.
And Scarlets.
One more thing on the Eastmond Gopeth debate. Having someone who kicks both out of hand and at sticks as well as Gopeth does take a huge amount of pressure off Sippers.
Eastmond, by the way, I'm not saying he can do that. But he can do that in a way. Do you remember when he used to kick sticks for St. Helens?
He did kick
sticks. He used to be great at it.
Yeah.
I don't know why that stopped. Hmm. Yeah, good game.
One thing I loved about it, again, I was in the privileged position of being able to, you know, interview Owen Farrell and Mark McCall after that win.
Yeah,
both of them really annoyed.
Really?
They
because
were
they
really annoyed.
They conceded 30 plus points.
Yeah, so you chat to Owen Farrell. This is why he is a winner, and this is one question I want to ask you about him. But this is why he's a winner, and it's one of the reasons I love him. He looked like you wouldn't know if he'd won or lost just from the way he was. It's like, yeah, well, you know, we scored some good tries and stuff, but that wasn't good enough. We need to be a lot better, and really annoyed that we. And that's the focus and that's the mindset that drives teams like Saracens, and Mark McCall was the same. But in commentary, who was it? Was it Austin Healey said, Owen Farrell is like a even better Johnny Wilkinson. He's like a complete Johnny Wilkinson. So basically, quick discussion. Owen Farrell better than Johnny Wilkinson was? Discuss. According to Austin Healey, what he is.
I think their skills are broadly similar. And maybe Owen Farrell is slightly more athletic. Because he's bigger, isn't he? He's slightly stronger, say. But I don't think his temperament is up to it. I don't think Johnny Wilkinson would miss as many tackles as Owen Farrell does playing 12.
You're banging on about
the
missed tackles.
Because one of the things I think about him is, do you know when JP Doyle turned round and was saying, he called up Brad Barrett and he goes, right, your boys scream at me like that again and they're going to get carded. And he was referring to, of course, was Owen Farrell, who was Chops in the background. And I think it's that almost hot-headedness. I mean, he's very cool and level-headed off the field and, you know, almost like monotone and stony-faced, regardless if he wins or loses. But on the field, he's really fiery, to the point that I think it lets him down. I think, you know, he gets a rush of blood to the head, and that doesn't happen. That never happened with Wilkinson.
It did never happen with Wilkinson, that is true. Just on the point of, you said more athletic. So he is bigger.
He's 6'2", isn't he?
I've listed here 6'1". Okay. But he's certainly taller than Wilkinson.
He's an inch shorter than me, so I'll go with say 6'1".
I actually think his running game... So I think in a lot of areas they are very similar. I think in the last couple of years we've started to see Owen Farrell's running game. We've seen it when he's been playing centre for England, and we've seen it quite a bit for Saracens. We saw the first try, we saw a great show-and-go break accelerate through. I think that he's got slightly above Wilkinson. We simply don't have the full picture for Owen Farrell, though. He's only 26.
That
which,
is true.
Which is, he's already been on two Lions tour, but he's only 26.
They're comparable in the domestic trophies that they have been part of. Now, all I would say on this is if Owen Farrell was the fly half in an England team that had Richard Hill, Neil Batt, Lawrence Dallaglio, Ben Kay, Martin Johnson, Phil Vickery.
Yeah, but hang on. He's a fly half behind the Saracens pack, and that might be better. And he does look good, actually.
And he does look
good. Yeah, he looks
great. He looks brilliant.
He looks absolutely brilliant.
Actually, the question is, hang on. Who's this? Ah, Carl Ferns. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. You are live on the podcast with Tim, who, of course, you know, and Phil. Say hello, boys.
Hello. Hello, Carl.
Fernsy.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Tim.
I was curious to hear how much of the... you know, when you can take the boy out of Merseyside, but you can't take the Merseyside out of the boy. There's still enough scouts in there, Carl. I like it.
Yeah, there is. It's your pal Fonse, mate. Now I'm still scouts.
Hey, I bet it's hotter in England, in Manchester today than it is where you are. What have you been doing today?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that because I've been down Parkhead Door today with the family and on an electric boat going around the little lake there. and a little picnic.
I love it. We chatted to Don Armand earlier on the podcast. So you and him would have a good chat about being overlooked for international honours. You'd probably have quite a good chat together. But we were chatting to him, and his Sunday's just been being a human climbing frame with his kids. It's quite an interesting, these giant men just being dominated by their kids. I like it.
Yeah,
it's a good image.
Yeah, the whole Don Armand thing is a bit strange as well, isn't it? Because, you know, Brad Shields coming in. What I've seen of Brad Shields, he seems... you know, sort of similar player to in the similar sort of profile as Don Armand. You know, good line out forward and, you know, physical. And tackles hard. It just makes you wonder why they're fast tracking someone in ahead of him. Whatever I say now is probably going to be seen as sort of like whinging and moaning. But for me, it sends the wrong message to the guys who are grafting hard week in, week out in the Premiership.
Yeah, I've been saying this for a while now. I actually think it's a real kick in the teeth, actually, if you've been working hard in the Premiership and you think you're near a call-up, and all of a sudden it's, all right, we're going to have this guy. And not only do we have this guy, we rate him so much higher than you. We're going to fly him 11,000 miles across the world to fly him another 3,000 miles back, or 9,000 miles back to South Africa. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it just tells all the other back rowers in the Premiership that Eddie thinks they're probably not good enough.
Mm.
That's the message I would probably get if I was them, whether they think it's right or not. But that's the message for me he's sending. Watching of England, I don't think Brad Shields is the type of back row they're missing, because they, as I said at the start, they've got line out forwards and people who work hard and graft. For me, I think they're missing someone who's going to get go forward in the midfield, and your Billy Vinopola type player. I think that's what they're probably missing more.
I think they need someone to help Billy V. Personally,
I completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, I know a certain bald headed scouser that could help him pretty well.
Hell yeah.
Well,
for me, I made my decision. So like I said, there, I don't want to be. Whatever I say now is not, it's not whinging and moaning.
No,
but you do make a good point. I mean, go forward ball. I think the one which kind of highlighted that for me the most was against France, where you'd argue England are the better drill team, the better team in general, but they just can't break down the French, and that's because they couldn't get over the game line.
I'm watching our back as well. I think they went into that game thinking that France will just blow out, and they didn't. they were trying to run everything from the 22.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't,
France's
would they?
France's defence just belted them. Like, I don't think they went forward probably once in the game, to be honest.
Yeah, they didn't.
It is hubris to think that you could just beat up a team at their own game plan. It's just ridiculous. Now,
speaking of France, there was a result I was particularly interested in on Friday night involving Toulon and Lyon. Can you talk us through that, Carl?
But before you do, Carl. I'm just gonna play you this, all right? Now, what is that? What are they saying? Why are they saying it?
Well, it's basically just our club song. Go Lou, go Lou, red and black are our colours, and you're always in our heart, basically. I think that's what it says. That's
certainly sounds like that when I'm singing it.
Great translation, but I think that's what it says.
Yeah, because this was. What's your take on it then? Did they blow it?
We certainly rode a luck, put it that way. Ashton had a bit of lube on his hands as well, which helped us. So he couldn't really catch much, but. Ashton's been incredible all season smashed up the top 14 record, and to be honest, you've got to be there to be able to drop it, and he's always sniffing around, always
forget that, get
right
him
place.
Get him.
for us we got lucky in elements, but I think we showed how tight we were as a group and a team, and we dogged it out, and defensively we were awesome, and I think we deserved it, because we played as a proper team, really. I think Toulon, they've got full of stars, but they sort of came in and out of the game, and I felt like probably played as in individuals a bit, but for us, we rode a lot, but we worked hard, and we probably deserved it.
Now this is quite an interesting thing, isn't it? You obviously joined Lyon Pro De Deux. Now, your team was the first team, was it not, to actually stay up in the top 14, and now you're going to a semi-final. That must be pretty cool, and also it must be pretty good living in Lyon with that reputation, though.
Yeah, well, Lyon, before I arrived, you know, I heard they had a reputation of like yo-yo club going up and down. And when I heard, Yoni was coming in, he was a quality coach. By the way, I think, you know, he wouldn't surprise me if in 2 years he's the French coach, to be honest. Mm. And he's come in, and so I got sort of excited about that, and we went, and yeah, it's been awesome journey. We come up, and we've gradually been getting better and better. And this season, we said we wanted to finish in the top six, and we've achieved that. So, in a way, we're a dangerous team because, you know, we've got nothing to lose really, and anything we get is a bonus after that.
Now, am I allowed to sell you out here a little bit? I'm going to anyway.
Go on. What?
Now, occasionally we have a little chat, but you really rate this. This Lyon team. I mean, you think next year in particular, if they don't do it this year, they're going to do very, very well.
Yeah, well, I think we're on the right trajectory. Really, we're going up. So, and we've got Champions Cup now, and that's going to attract better players, and we'll be able to recruit better. And I think we're just it's a good environment to be in, a happy environment, and we're just getting better and better. So,
and for next season, just that little you mentioned it. I mean, I know Lyon were involved in Challenge Cup and stuff, but it's not quite on the radar of a lot of casual rugby fans. As an Englishman playing abroad, the prospect of getting a big English club in a European Cup match and being able to show them what they're missing, that must be something that fires you up.
Yeah, definitely. That's the first thing that went through my head when we qualified for it. I want to get back fit and play against a few English teams.
Now, that's a good point. How is the knee? And are you starting to get lean for the new season?
the knee's getting there slowly, but I'm trying to keep as lean as I can. But I haven't been running as much lately because over in France the surgeon basically he controls a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, back in England, when you go to your club, your physios will be they'll have the say really, and you'd only go and see your surgeon in England if there was something wrong. But over here in France, the surgeon calls all the shots. He tells you what you want to do, what you got to do, when you can do it. And my surgeon's just been a bit cautious. It's everything's all good, but he's just taking it slowly because I've got time, I think. So. Yeah.
Do you think you'll be back for the start of next season? Is that the plan?
Yeah, I hope we'll be back sort of September. Yeah. Hopefully. That's the target.
Is the plan to miss part of pre-season?
Part of a team? I'll be sort of running. I probably won't be doing full pre-season with the lads, but hopefully I'll be running sort of alongside them. And
yeah.
Any running drills they're doing, I'll be able to do. The contact stuff I'll obviously not be able to do until I go through the
that's good. And
protocol.
Carl, I have said to these two, I've got some of my family, my aunt's got a place in Nolay, which is about an hour. It's like in the wine region, about an hour from Lyon. And so it was crazy how cheap you can get from Manchester to Lyon. So
I keep threatening it.
Yeah, we'll have to pop over for some home games. It'd be cheaper than going to London, I reckon.
It would
yeah,
be.
you can get them for about 30 quid return or something if you book it in advance.
It'd be faster than getting to the AJ Bell from here as well.
Even with the Diamond Lane. Carl, this off-season, I believe one of your teammates is getting married. Are you booked on the stag do, and where are you going? The guy I'm referring to is Liam Gill, by the way.
Yeah, well, we've already had his stag do. We just had it in Lyon after the quarter. Was it before the quarter? We had a week off somewhere, and we had it then. And I've actually booked my flights to Australia.
Have you?
Yeah, me and my missus are going kid-free, so...
Whoa, crazy.
So I booked that, so we'll be there for that, and then I fly back.
Am I allowed to ask you why you call him Trevor?
this is basically his alter ego, so whenever he gets on the smash and has a few beers, Trevor comes off. But now we just call him Trevor all the time. He's a better bloke.
unlike in England, Carl, I'm sure in Lyon, you boys go out and the town, you know, a load of the guys will know you, will come out and say hello, will love you and all the rest of it. Does that mean you have to be more careful or less careful when you're out with everyone having phones and stuff?
Less careful. Well, any sort of team events, they all make you put your phone in a bucket and take it off you. So yeah,
that's really amazing. Great shout.
To be fair, it can't be much more of a goldfish bowl than Bath.
No, yeah.
Oh well, no, of course.
Everyone
yeah.
knows what you're doing in Bath.
Oh yeah,
it's
Bath.
Such a small place.
Now, you don't have to answer this, and I'm happy to edit it out if you want. I'll actually edit that bit out. Can you tell us what was on the Sam Burgess PowerPoint?
Well, from what I remember, it was just a highlight reel of his rugby league clips, I think.
And he hadn't, at this point, he hadn't arrived.
No, we were sitting third or second in the league, and then we were told how he's going to change our whole club, and we're going to become a European powerhouse.
I would pay so much money to get hold of that PowerPoint. I take it everyone stood up and clapped at the end.
No. Well, there's rumours that Mike Ford was clapping by himself in the front, but I didn't clap, no.
Mate, you are an absolute legend. Thank you so much for coming on. But before you go, one last question. Are you more excited about your semi-final or Liverpool's Champions League final?
Our semi.
Your semi. Good answer.
Yeah, it's a tough question to ask me that, but our semi.
Hold on, isn't the
final? Like you said before, come from Pretty Dur, come up. Yeah. If we win the semi, it would be amazing. So
it wouldn't it just?
Where is the Champions League final? Is it in France?
It's in
Kiev.
Kiev.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't recommend going there.
So a lad that works for me, 21-year-old, is on a coach at 5 a.m. on Thursday morning from Liverpool, which takes him 16 hours to get to Warsaw, and then a further 11 hours to get to Kiev. He's doing
commitment
coach the whole way. It's 400 quid as well.
No, oh my god!
Yeah, astonishing right. cost.
I bet the first 2 hours of that they're absolutely buzzing, and then the remaining 40 hours is just horrible.
Was like me. That was like me this weekend. Me and Dylan. Because Dylan got banned, he was a naughty boy again. we set off to Toulon on the sort of, with the non-23 bus. Started like flew out the blocks, at amazing pace with the beers, and then got about 3 hours in, and we were an hour out, and we just crashed.
all snoozing.
Yeah.
How is Dylan getting on there?
Yeah, really good, really good. He's I think he's signed on again for another year, and he's. He's made up because he's going to get his 50th European cap.
Is that right?
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, because he's on 49, so he's made up that we've got into the Champions Cup.
Some very smart signings there.
Yeah,
at Lyon, yourself, Trevor, people like Michalak that people just completely overlook. I mean, it must be great playing with a guy like that.
Yeah, he's a really relaxed bloke as well, top boy, and he's. I think because he's so relaxed, he just rubs off on you. And
is he
you
pretty cool?
You want.
Is he as cool in real life as he is on TV? Because he does look very cool on TV.
He's pretty cool.
You go over to
cool.
France and he's on billboards. What's he advertising? Was he advertising?
Yeah, he's a model for one of the clothing brands over here.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you'll be following in his footsteps, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just need to get back fit and get back on the pitch, and they'll start calling, I think, for a modelling contract.
Have you been able to... Do you still play golf over there? Because you were pretty handy.
Yeah, we met like a few of the boys remember Golf Club de Lyon. It's not actually in Lyon, by the way. You have to drive about 50 minutes to get to it, which is annoying. But, we play there. Mikey Harris is an incredible golfer.
Is he?
Yeah. Excellent.
He's off about. He's off single figures, so yeah, he's obviously a good golfer, but to us, he's incredible.
next week's fixture then. So, Lyon travel to Montpellier. Confident?
Yep. No, we don't track. It's up in Lyon.
Oh, is it?
In the football stadium, yeah.
What, is that just how it was already planned, or...?
Yeah, it's because it's both semis are played in the Groupama stadium in Lyon.
You've got to be delighted with that.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. The old home advantage, home ref advantage. Hopefully it comes good.
That's brilliant.
What are you guys getting for your home games at the moment, crowd-wise?
I think we got like 16,000 in our last Montpellier home game.
Wow.
And I think we average about 12, 13.
Wow. So do you reckon the semi-final will like bring out the crowd?
Yeah, hopefully. Because Lyon football have just got Champions League as well. And I think they've been going hard all around Lyon about our semi-final. So hopefully the few of the football fans get behind it. And
what a stroke of luck that
is. Fantastic.
That's amazing.
We'll keep our eye out for the result. All the best.
Cheers.
Mate, you've been absolutely fantastic. And when we've got some more gossip to get into, we'll get you on again.
Yeah, get myself in trouble, probably.
He'll be fine, mate. He'll be fine. That's right, you're in France. Yeah, do what you want, though.
Yeah, do what I want. Shackles are off.
Exactly. All right, mate, take care, and I'll speak with you soon.
Top man.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, Carl.
Cheers, Tim.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, well, that was nice, wasn't it?
That was nice.
What a special occasion tonight has been.
Yeah, I thought I'd just mix it up a bit.
That's tremendous. Two top blokes as well.
I'll have to edit out me saying I'm going to edit out stuff, or I'll just leave it in.
Or just
leave it in and leave that bit of us of you talking about whether or not you should delete the saying you'll delete stuff. Just leave that in as well.
The more times you talk about editing stuff out, the more stuff you'd have to edit out.
Exactly.
So the less likely you are to do any of it.
I really enjoyed that. I won't be editing that out.
Right. Very good.
Where were we? Oh, yeah, so...
I can't believe you just edited that thing right there.
Yeah.
I can't believe...
We should have asked him who's better, Wilkinson or Farrell. But it is Wilkinson, so that's a shame.
So the two semi-finals in France are Montpellier, who have been phenomenal this season.
Just stop for... No, go on, sorry. This can wait. It's just...
So Montpellier, Lyon, and then Racing, Cast are the semi-finals.
I don't know who's going to win any of them, but I sincerely hope it's Lyon.
Lyon, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be rooting for Lyon.
Do you remember last week we were joking about... We were saying, oh, come on, you've done the... WhatsApp messages to announce new players, conversations, and we came up with a question of sport mystery guest fashion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, Ben Tadman has tweeted us and said, and this has happened in the last few minutes, he said, and this was 7 minutes ago, this just happened, Harlequins have done pretty much exactly what our suggestion was. They've got a silhouetted player stood outside the tunnel.
Ooh.
Like, mystery guest, can you work out who the silhouette is?
So I've worked out how I'm going to... do my WWE thing.
Okay, yeah.
So, how many players can you name on a bench?
What?
How many players can you name on your
bench?
Eight, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to name seven and a mystery. Right? And then midway through, he can run down the tunnel just like... Yeah. Who is it? Of course, you've got to keep everyone like secret.
No, I
think pyrotechnics everywhere.
Yeah, no, I don't think you... Yeah, only when they go on the field... You bring them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Straight out and onto the field, yeah.
Yeah, but I want them running down the tunnel. Yeah. Right, number seven's off. Woo! This guy is storming on. Maybe mid-play. It's not even a stoppage. The only for new signings.
Now, is there a danger he's going to get confused and choke slam the referee?
Well, you know, give the fans what they want.
Exactly.
Do we need to just briefly, for anyone that might not have understood the Sam Burgess thing, because that was amazing that Carl was game on to talk about that. That was, well, I think you sort of got from it.
Yeah.
You got what the thing was about, but amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
We missed the semi-final. Leinster Munster. Did anyone watch this? I didn't.
I've seen the highlights, but I didn't watch it at the time because it was the same time as...
Yeah, that's exactly the same.
It's disappointing scheduling that to put two of them. Yeah. There's only four English, Irish, British games this weekend. Why not have all four of them
so people
can watch them?
I mean, maybe BT Sport can answer, or the man who works for BT Sport can answer this, but would it not make more sense to push the Saracens game to 5 o'clock or something? Sorry, Harry, the Exeter game to 5 o'clock.
Well, no, I quite liked having the back-to-back BT Sport.
Maybe.
Because you'd roll from one straight to the other.
Maybe the Pro 14 game at 5 o'clock then.
It would have felt like, but presumably neither were willing to do it.
I'm sure they have been in previous seasons. I'm sure, there's been a Friday night and then there's been a Saturday evening game.
I seem to remember it was... No, last year was the same.
Was it?
And the year before was the same, where it's Premiership, Pro 14.
I'm sure...
Premiership Pro 12.
Premiership used to play one of theirs on a Friday. Like Northampton Leicester was on a Friday.
But is that up to the club?
Don't know. I love a Friday night semi-final. I think it's much better.
Yeah.
Oh, semi-final. Oh, yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah,
semi-final. It should be. We should be able to watch all four games. That's all I care.
And
push one to a Sunday. Push one to Saturday at 3:30, 5:30, 12:30, whatever it is.
Now, weirdly, this is the closest result.
It was. And I do... So, Leinster did change their team quite a bit.
Did they? I don't know how they do this.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. No Sexton.
What?
For example. Ross Byrne played fly half and did well. From what I've seen. But it was a much closer result. And it didn't seem like it when, after however many minutes it was, 8 minutes, Jack Conan crashed through after a brilliant... Brilliant break and offload by James Lowe.
Is Sexton injured?
I think he was picking a knock because he wasn't kicking towards the end of the final, was he?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Masewa, so he probably is carrying a knock, but I think he should be okay for the final because he finished the other final, the Champions Cup final.
This is disgusting. I mean, how are you that good you don't need Sexton and you still win a semi-final?
and they were comfortable. It was the try right in the last second. Which I don't think was a try. Have you seen this?
No, is this Zebo combining with someone else?
No, this is Grobler, who tried to put the ball against the post. I think it was the wrong decision from the TMO. I think it was the right outcome, but wrong decision. So he tried to pick up and put the ball against the post. There was a couple of Leinster players who stopped it, one of whom was sitting on the floor and put his arm out. So I actually think it should have been a penalty try and a yellow card, which would have then given Munster one last play against 14 men
to win
the game. But it wasn't, unfortunately. It was.
I noticed Kieran Parker, XL Shark, is on the bench there.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Ding.
I say we're really like I care.
I mean, that's the big news from this one, isn't it? So Joey Corbury is apparently off to Munster next year on a 1 year loan.
Is it off to Munster?
Yeah, so he's off to Munster. And the other one. Who's the other one?
Keatley.
Yes, Keatley's going to go to Ulster.
Okay.
That's what I hear. Which sounds like, I mean, don't you just want the real deal?
Johnny Sexton, yeah, I'll take him.
I was thinking Carberry.
I would happily take Carberry.
So I think that's a plan. So
Johnny McPhillips is playing well. He's only a young lad. He's got a lot of talent, a lot of capability. But then you can't just have one.
No, you can't.
One
but isn't
half.
That exactly the point? Which is as soon as you give a young lad like Johnny McPhillips a bit of a run of games, you start battering the Ospreys, and you think, oh, he's pretty good. You know, you just need games for most of these lads, and they're all pretty good.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ulster do definitely need another backup, because obviously Alding would have been one of the backup fly halves.
You must have another kid somewhere.
Alongside Piatow. Pienaar.
Just get a kid from somewhere and train him up.
Yeah.
That's how it works. It's the Pro 14.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what it's there to do, and it works. Look at
all the kids are in the Leinster academies.
I think, hasn't Ulster schoolboys traditionally produced a lot of talent in the backs?
Not bad, not bad, yeah. Nowhere is as good as the Leinster production line.
Mm, true, true.
Have you seen, just elsewhere, have you seen, I was looking at the New Zealand squad. Have you seen the squad?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
I have seen it.
Oh, it's frightening.
My boy, Hurricanes dominator this season, Ben Lamb, who's made Julian Surveyor look like Julian Clary.
Julian Surveyor, who can't get in the squad, by the way.
Not in the squad. So Ben Lamb, not in the squad. He's something else.
Wow.
He's been scoring tries for fun this season.
But isn't that the whole point of the of Super Rugby? Like, you just score tries for fun. And
yeah, but even by Super Rugby standards.
But, like, last year it was Vince Orso scoring for fun. And Lauamapi scoring
and
Lauamapi, for fun.
And Lauamapi, yeah.
Every position on that field, they just look frightening. You've got, like, oh, man.
They
Perenara Smith at the centres, Crotty Goodhue, Lauamapi, Linnett Brown, Sonny Bill Williams, back three, Geordie Barrett, Rico Ioane, Milner Scudder, Naholo, Ben Smith.
Yeah, we get it. They're good.
Oh, God. It's
quick question. Who is unfortunate enough to go touring there?
France.
Oh, good. Do you know what, actually? They are the one team I think they might be frightened of.
Well, they probably would be if... Because the French seasonal, it normally kind of coincides.
Right.
Like, they miss... Half the players are flying out there just in time for the first test.
Last year it was the second test.
The second test, yeah. So they're normally in transit during the first
that
test.
That is so amazingly French, isn't it? I mean, astoundingly French.
I'll check that, because they might have sorted it out this year.
They might have.
Because if there's one simple thing to sort out, it's having your players available for the games.
Yeah, the one thing you need for a rugby team is players.
Yeah.
we've all established that.
Sorry, go on.
No, go on. I was going to say, I think it's the Argentine tour, maybe. They didn't have all the players. But, you know, the more disastrous it is, the better it is for everyone, really. It's so French.
The selection I like in the New Zealand squad, it's a very similar kind of player to Sam Simmons, Jordan Talfua. Quite a short number eight.
Hmm.
He's plays for the Crusaders. He's been really good. But everyone says, is he a bit too little to play number eight?
Don't know him.
So I wonder if this is a signal of maybe the game changing a little bit. Well, we'll see. But he's an impressive guy.
So I can tell you that the first game of the France-New Zealand tour is exactly 7 days after the top 14 final, which means they've got to travel 12,000 miles. They've got to finish playing, finish celebrating, travel 12,000 miles.
Still celebrating.
Probably still celebrating. And then prepare for a test match if the players involved in the final are going to play.
Nice. That's a tough ask, isn't it?
Preparation.
Let's do this weekend's games.
Not many of them to do.
Yeah, yep. So, one other thing in Super Rugby.
Did you see... Jaguars won.
Jaguars again. The Jaguars are...
Since I've stopped watching them.
Unstoppable. They destroyed the Blues 54.
Love it.
Did they?
Yeah. 54-20 odds.
How ironic that they've just abandoned their national selection policy to include European players. And the year I've stopped watching them.
Maybe that's why they've got, oh God, we've got to pull our finger out now.
Yeah. Oh my God, what a play.
We're not the only shop in town now.
Yeah, put that tequila away.
It is. They had 2 years of experiments, and now we're getting towards business end. By that I mean we're 18 months out from a Rugby World Cup. They've got to start playing like they mean it, and when they play like they mean it, they're looking pretty good.
So, is anyone touring there? Someone must be.
There will be. Let's have a look.
Oh, is it Wales? Because they've got to go to USA first.
Is that still on? Still going to... Is that still definitely on? Washington, D.C.?
I assume it is.
Ireland have announced another game in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, Argentina-Wales it is.
Ireland are playing...
I've seen it. USA.
Are they playing
Ireland,
USA?
Ireland, Australia.
Is it USA All Blacks?
Is it Ireland, Australia in Chicago? No.
USA are playing.
Oh, is it Ireland, USA in Chicago?
So I'm just looking at the summer tours now.
No, yeah, I'm thinking of us having a week, having a few days away.
In 2 weeks' time.
Come on, no, not in 2 weeks' time. In
autumn.
In the autumn, yeah. Come
yeah,
on,
there was
it.
There was a game announced for the autumn.
It's a coin flip, isn't it? Do we want to do the Aviva or do we want to do Chicago? Hmm. Well, they're both in Chicago, I guess, aren't they? So.
Well,
we don't know yet.
Yeah, are they?
Maybe. I've heard that it's very likely it's in Chicago. Let's put it that way.
Did you see there was...
It's Philly again.
Yeah, Soldier Field. Seen their All Black victory. They're going to play Italy. Oh, it's only Italy.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Spoiled brats. It'll be part of a triple header of games on Saturday the 3rd of November, so it could be quite a full stadium.
Right, okay.
Which will also see the US men's play the Maori All Blacks, mm-hmm. and the women's Eagles play the Maori All Blacks.
Right, okay.
Okay. Play the Black Ferns.
Look, that's very nice, okay, but here's the long and short of it. I don't have enough time in the USA to see more than one game.
Yeah.
Like, the game is nice to build up to.
Yeah.
But I have 80 minutes to not drink, and then the rest of it, I've got stuff to do. And it does involve watching sport.
It mostly involves drinking.
Yes. And actually watching some sport on TV.
And eating oysters.
Non-UK sport on TV.
And eating oysters.
Yes. And actually, we played a game last time. And we went to...
That was good fun.
Yeah, I tell you what was really good fun. Straight after that, we went to this bar in New Jersey, and it was... It felt like a film scene. It was absolutely brilliant. It was like...
Which one was this? Is this the Premiership game?
Yeah. When we played the Bayonne Bombers.
Oh, yeah.
And we went to their clubhouse, which was just... It's a really cool bar. It's not cool.
It was a dive bar. It was an absolute dive bar. But it was brilliant fun.
Is this the one I was at or the one I wasn't at?
This was the one you weren't at.
Oh, right, I don't care.
I was so hungry. I was getting hot dogs and then rolling them up in slices of pizza. Great minds. And then showing them how to neck pints.
Well, anyway, if you did want to do the Chicago adventure, Saturday, November the 3rd.
Or keep your powder... Oh, hang on. Saturday, November the 3rd. Or keep your powder dry.
For March.
Is it March this year?
It's March 2019 is the Premiership game.
Oh, is it? Oh, we can do both then.
Finances permitting, we better sell some razors.
Oh, yeah. How can you do that?
Well, no, that's not the reason.
The reason you should
get a Cornerstone razor is they are the best razors you can possibly get.
That is another very good reason.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they shave your face too.
No, they're extremely good. You've heard us talking about Cornerstone razors. It's a mail order razor. You go to the supermarket, you have the same old selection. But actually, if you get it but via a different means, you get access to something even better. GQ magazine awarded it in one of its awards as the best razor of the ones that it was up against. So, you know, they know a thing or two. We know a thing or two. And the point is, you can give it a go for less than a pint. £4. Have you got £4 to try out something that will change the way you go about a morning? £4. And you get your 6 precision-engineered German razors from Cornerstone in a presentation box. You get your aluminium shaft engraved with your initials. They're weighty, they're heavy. None of this plastic nonsense that other companies are trying to flog you. And all for £4. And with no obligation, that's because you listen to us. So what you need to do is go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Or...
Egg 10 at checkout.
Yes.
Perfect.
And then we can go to USA twice next season.
And do amazing podcasts for you.
Like the first one that we did, the three of us did.
Oh, God.
On a rooftop.
Podcast-ageddon.
In Brooklyn.
Pod-ageddon.
After having a bottomless brunch.
I remember that brunch. We were just going over the edge, and Phil very sensibly was like, we do need to do a podcast, boys.
But those, those Bloody Marys were just... They were irresponsibly strong.
And the customer service in America is such that you look around and you look back and your glass is full again.
Yeah, exactly.
They're amazing.
Irresponsibly strong, poured irresponsibly. I simply did not know how much I was drinking.
We should have bought our kit there. Although, we were in Brooklyn, weren't we? So, like, every other person's got a podcast. In fact, every other person has got a podcast, haven't they? Just be normal fare.
You have to choose a podcast or a beard. Basically it.
Yeah, lots of both. And the thing that struck me was the sheer number of French Bulldogs and Boston Terriers. they were everywhere.
We have a friend,
these
right?
Glamour dogs.
We have a friend that texted me the other day. This is completely off the beaten track here. How many calories a day do you think that a Labrador eats, according to our friend Michael Ainsworth?
Well, I'm just thinking they'd have two big bowls of food. 1,500 calories.
1,500 calories? Well, that's the sensible... I mean, I did that calculation. According to him, it was 50,000 calories per day. And the amazing thing is, all my intelligent mates on this group actually agreed with it. And so I pointed out, that's 50 roast chickens a day. There's not enough roast chickens in all of... there's not enough chickens in the world to feed the Labrador population of Chorlton. Yeah, but that Ramsey Bulldogs. Anyway, let's talk about some rugby again before we really go off the beaten
track. Yeah, this weekend.
Perfect. So, two finals. What time are they?
Oh, by the way, he got...
3 and 6.
Oh, can I just add one more thing to that story? He got his fact from Mumsnet.
Well, you know it's good then.
Yeah.
Right.
3 p.m. Twickenham, 6 p.m. at wherever the Pro 14 final is.
Dublin.
Is it Dublin?
It is Dublin, yes, because we've been invited.
Oh, okay.
If you want to go. Do you want to go?
Aren't you in...
I'm in North Wales.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're going to Beth Gellert again?
I am going to Beth Gellert.
Poor man.
Going to walk Molshabod, I think. Molshabod.
I'd rather drive my car into a ditch.
Going for a few pints in the Saracen's Head in Beth Gellert as well.
There you go.
Ooh, an omen, perhaps.
Well, perhaps. Which final do you want to do first?
Pro 12.
Pro 14.
14, yes.
So this is a repeat of last year's semi-final that Scarlets won.
Yep.
Of the two performances from this weekend, Scarlets undoubtedly the most impressive.
Yes. I can't pick against Leinster anymore until they give me a reason to do so. Saying another team might show up on the day and they might be able to do it is just not a good enough excuse to pick against Leinster.
Yeah.
So I've tried this multiple times. It doesn't work.
So we've seen this before as well.
Yeah.
In the semi-final of the Champions Cup. And it was one-way traffic. They completely stopped Scarlets from playing. Mm. And Leinster, they not just stopped Scarlets from playing, they were rapier sharp in attack themselves. So I can't look past Leinster.
No,
I just can't.
Actually a pretty dull analysis because... I don't think anyone's going to beat Leinster. And until Leinster show me some cracks or they lose some players or something happens, I mean, they're all fully fit, pretty much. Leinster, and probably Leinster by 20 points.
Wow. Well, if Leinster, if they don't stop Scarlets from scoring, then it'll be very interesting because they can score from absolutely nothing.
That is true.
But I think they will. I just think their kicking game, their kick change game, their control of territory and possession will just be too good.
It's oppressive, isn't it? They are suffocating both in the relentlessness of their attack and in the toughness of their defence.
So we're all saying Leinster?
Yeah. I can't even give you give you the analysis why, because I don't know what they're going to do. I know they can beat teams like Exeter, they can beat teams like Scarlets, and they can beat everything in between.
Yeah.
That's my analysis.
Safe bet.
Saracens versus Exeter.
Right. So there's something I want to mention here.
Okay.
Which is, so Exeter, particularly in the first half, but in the whole game, completely controlled possession and territory.
Mm.
Think back to a couple of years ago, when Saracens won their two Champions Cups, they put in some incredible performances. The one that I'm really thinking of is when they hammered Clermont in the semi-final.
Yep.
The 37 points to 5, complete taking apart of an incredible Clermont team. And in that game, Clermont had something like, I've not got any of the stats in front of me, but they had 60-70% possession, 60-70% territory, but couldn't get anywhere.
Yeah.
Because Saracens just absorbed it, forced the turnover, exploited the turnover. Do you think this game could go like that? Because there is... So Exeter were playing 25 phases against Newcastle.
Yeah.
And eventually forcing either a penalty or an opportunity. If they're not getting to that, there's only so many phases you can go through.
Yeah, then you... Well, yeah. So Exeter tends to go through more phases the closer they get to the line.
I was going
to
say, there's only so many phases you can go through. It sort of is at odds with the way that Exeter can play. It's like, no, we'll just keep going. We're quite happy.
But further out, you know, they do play a lot of expansive stuff. So, yeah, I think it'll be like a concertina effect. It's like, as they get closer in, the passes will get shorter and they'll get closer and closer and closer and tighter and tighter and tighter. But, you know, playing Saracens is a lot different to playing Newcastle. And that extra physicality might actually be the difference. In fact, it will be the difference. So, I mean, the way the Saracens play, who's going to win the gain line? That's the ultimate question. Who's going to win the gain line?
Well, I actually think the gain line will be fairly equal.
Yeah.
I don't think either of them will be overly dominant on the gain line. They'll both win collisions, but overall, it feels fairly evenly matched.
Yeah, so I think the different style of play is, you know, what you'll see from Saracens is that really hard, aggressive, you know, two out forward runner. That's what they're good at. Exeter go forward slightly differently, i.e. they've got those nice little triangular patterns off wingers, and they've got a little bit more in, no, not a little bit more in stretch, because the Saracens are fairly stretched, but they attack more towards the breakdown and then a little bit more out wide, whereas Saracens are kind of in between that. I just don't know. I don't know. Whoever can counter the other one more effectively, I'd say.
So here's a question then. How many, when we've done this in the past when we've had very close games to call, how many Chiefs players get into the Saracens team?
No. How many Chiefs units?
Okay.
Chiefs units.
Do it as units then. So front row.
Front row. I mean, scrum time, Saracens have actually not been very good this season.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
Ninth or something.
But Vincent Cock, Jamie George, Maka Vanapola can do it all. Well, except scrummage as a unit, effectively.
Well, yeah. they've had bad patches this season.
They've had some very poor patches.
No, they were I think they were the lowest ranked Premiership scrum in terms of success ratio.
Yeah. They're pretty down there. Like against Leicester, they got absolutely hammered.
Yeah. So Exeter do have an opportunity to win penalties there, which could be crucial. But I would still take Saracens.
I would still take Saracens. Although,
well, it's a six, isn't it? It's not the three. And I mean,
that's tough. That's pretty even.
Cause,
that.
Yeah.
Because when you consider the six, you get Scott Britz off the bench,
and you get Juan Figueroa and whoever
and Baz Barrington.
Yeah.
But Exeter, Luke Cowan-Dickie is going to be
Yendall.
Cowan-Dickie and Hepburn and Yendall
and Harry and Williams. Moon.
Harry Williams didn't play this weekend, did
no.
he? It was Francis and
no, I've heard
Greg
some things,
Holmes.
Has there been some chat about Harry Williams? Yeah.
Too big time now, is what you're saying?
Well, no, no.
What is this chat then? I've not heard any of it.
I don't know.
But there's some chat, some generic chat. So tell me later.
I don't know. Just chat about Harry Williams, about him, just how good he is.
do you want to edit that?
All right, so equal. So equal. Second row, you'd have to take Saracens.
Yeah. So, I thought Cruz was injured.
Didn't look injured this week.
And so he is missing the summer tour because he's going to have ankle surgery.
Ah, ooh.
But if that's a man playing when he needs ankle surgery, God,
yeah, he didn't do half bad.
He's incredible.
I mean, there is no choice about it. I pick Saracen second row every day of the week.
Back row with Billy V.
Billy V, yes, but as a unit, Ormond, Simmons, and whoever else they want to pick, I think
Ewers. Do you see the offload to? Ewers is back to his bullocking best.
Yeah, that's
100%.
I think I go with Exeter.
And that sounds crazy, actually, to say you go with Exeter, but I think I'm with you.
I think Nick Azikwe with his shaved hair looks bloody nails.
Looks hard as nails.
He is massive.
Yeah, he is.
He is absolutely. I mean, Mark McCall was mentioned that he thought it was a bit unfair that Nick Ezekwe wasn't mentioned as a young player of the season. And you've got to say, that is nuts that he wasn't in that conversation.
Yeah.
He wasn't nominated.
Just the number of games he's played at such a young age.
I wonder
and the
if that's
versatility
why,
and physicality.
Yeah, exactly. Second row,
he's
six.
He's played
in
big European games.
Yeah.
He played against Leinster at six.
I think I would go for Exeter.
I think I might go for Exeter as well, although Billy Vanapola is good.
And so the options off the bench, so Michael Rhodes versus Toot Tank Waldrum, whose break for the Armand try was superb. Give me Exeter.
Yeah.
So we've got Saracens edging the front row and the front five, Exeter maybe edging the back row ever so slightly. So basically it's really even. Half backs, you've got to pick Saracens.
Yeah.
Well, Nick White over...
And Joe
Wigglesworth.
Simmons. No, but as a unit.
Oh, is it Joe Simmons?
As a unit. You've got to pick Saracens.
Joe Simmons has been superb. And he came from nowhere, and he's looking so composed and competent. He's brilliant.
Hill and Slade versus Barrett and Lazowski. Assuming it's all the same selection.
Hill, Slade, Barrett, Lazowski.
Give me Saracens, I think.
I think Saracens too.
Yeah, I mean, Hill is not tremendously dissimilar in the job he does to Barrett. And well,
those two are very evenly matched. Yeah, they're playing the same roles.
I mean, I guess you would say if you maybe even 6 months ago, Slade is the second coming. Lazowski looks tremendous, and he's a little bit more explosive than Slade. Slade's nice and silky and smooth and the rest of it, but Lazowski just goes.
And he played three different positions at the weekend as well over that 80 minutes. Which is very, very Henry Slade like.
Yeah.
Lazowski and Slade are both kind of vying for that.
Yeah.
Probably that bench spot.
If I was Lazowski, I'd want to be played at 13 now, or just one position, and don't ever move me again.
So yeah, having those two as genuine 13 options, I like that. I quite like having the hard man at 12 and the playmaker.
Like when you and I played at Bayonne.
The hard man at 12, playmaker at 13.
Exactly. So we did it.
And then. The final unit is the back three. So you've got Turner, Woodburn and Noel versus great mates Wiles. Liam Williams, is he going to be out for the final?
And Good, who's the best attacking player.
And Good.
Yeah, best all-round rugby player in England. Probably Exeter.
I think on those three, I'll go for Exeter.
I would go for Exeter, yeah.
You drop Liam Williams in there, I'm Saracens.
If Liam Williams is in, it's Saracens, yeah.
But Liam Williams is, like, his best position is at fullback, as good as he is on the wing. And then you've got a choice. Do you want Good or do you want Williams? I don't think...
Well, don't Saracens have some pretty tidy wingers coming in over the summer?
Yeah.
Who do they have?
Lewington.
Lewington for one. They'll be there.
Yeah, that's dynamite, isn't it?
Yeah. Strettler's coming back at 34, I think he is. So.
Is he 34?
I think so, yeah.
Is he doing the Andy Femby role?
Who's signing Naira Volo? Is that's Northampton?
Northampton. Yeah. Did you see his try at the weekend? One of his tries at the weekend?
I still think they're a mess.
They're bringing in some talent. If you can just harness their potential.
They've got like 86 flankers. Have you seen the list of flankers that they have?
Yeah, but Haskell, he'll meld them into a cohesive unit.
I hope you're right. I don't say it, though.
Or he'll divide them and create even more ruptures and fissures than they're
already. That is 100% not how he rolls. I would say, just going to Northampton. No, I'm not talking about Northampton. Screw him. If they're any good, we'd be talking about them
in the final.
No.
So,
do one.
Basically, that Saracen, the Saracens back line, X to back three, and the Saracens back row, no, the X to back row and the Saracens front five. So again, we're probably no closer to a...
But from that...
Saracens trade it for me.
It's 9-6 if we're taking those units.
Yeah, and in the key areas, a lot of decision-making positions.
Yeah.
Saracens have it.
Agreed.
I think it's going to be a tremendous game. I can't wait. Because it's not going to be... It will not be a 90-point thriller like the Saracens-Wasps game.
It
simply won't be. But I don't quite know how it's going to go.
But you say a 90-point thriller. There was 90 points, but it wasn't a thriller.
No, it
was, the result was...
It wasn't...
But
it
for
was
a few
never.
Minutes where you thought, oh, could Wasps come
no.
back? No. It was never,
it
ever
was never
in, doubt.
In doubt, but there were some thrilling tries.
There were.
But yeah, you're right.
It's going to be a thriller like the Battle of Verdun. That kind of thriller.
Just millions of rounds of heavy artillery.
Yeah. I think it might be like that. Just Don Armand and Billy Vunipolis running into each other constantly.
Yeah.
Well,
but it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, they should move the Hadron Collider researchers to Twickenham.
Yeah. Well, nearly 2 hours on a weekend which only had four games. Well done, boys.
Well, thank you for organising those special guests.
No problem. I might organise a few more next week. Who knows?
Very good.
Right. Enjoy the finals. Get yourself a Cornerstone razor. Enjoy the sunshine. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.